Okay. It's a short mizmor, but remarkably packed with interesting, not quite clear what the meaning is, and I'm not sure we're going to get resolved that today. But I'm going to suggest a few possible directions for reading this. It should be familiar from the liturgy. I'm not used to this word. Okay. did you manage to find any division here? How does the mizmor divide up? And why don't we just start with that, and then we'll go through reading it out loud as we go. Okay? So give it a second, and let's. Do you have any possible structural notes on this? Structural observations on this? Yes, in back.
Louder,
I'm sorry.
You take
Pasuk Aleph
and
Bet. Uh-huh.
The first group, and then
Gimel Rutet. Okay. And then Gimel Aleph. Okay, Aleph through Bet. Okay. And based on what did you say that? Why did you say that? There's an introduction and a conclusion. So you had Kol Hashem in the middle, okay, and you decided that there was an introduction and a conclusion. Okay. Can anyone want to solidify? I agree with your division. If you notice, Gimel Dalet Hey Vav Zayin, with the exception of Vav, Zayin Chet Het, all begin with the letter, with the words Kol Hashem. So that works nicely. What about part one and part three? Right? So she's suggesting Aleph through Bet and Yud through Yud Aleph are the others, and all you could say was introduction and conclusion. Anything, but your observation that there was Kol Hashem in the middle might be something we might want to look for in the beginning and the end. Anything like that you noticed? Yeah.
Well, in the beginning, the first two psukim are how are the what humans give to God, so to speak, and the last two psukim are God gives back to or God's relation to humans.
Okay, I'm not sure where we got humans in the beginning. We'll get there in a second. Okay, building off of what Rina said, that she observed that there is a sort of a textual division between of Gimel to Tet. Yeah, Shlomo.
Havu
Lashem in Aleph Yuvet, right?
Four times.
What? And it occurs four times, right? Havu Lashem bnei Yilim, Havu Lashem kavod va'oz, Havu Lashem kavod shmo, etc., etc. So Havu Lashem b'had bat kodesh, but the Havu Lashem is certainly a structural marker. The repetition of words here is clearly a structural element here. And the end is simply Hashem, right? It's just the name of God. And I don't remember the numbers, but the numbers are somehow significant. And the number of times that Hashem's name is mentioned here has something to do with why we recited on Friday nights. But ani lo mekubal, so. I know I refer you to Reuven Kimmelman's work on Kabbalat Shabbat in its original Kabbalistic context for interesting observations on this and other things. So we noticed we've got our structure. Now what I'd like to do is I'd like to read Pasuk, those of you who know me, that's how we do things, and we're going to start with some Yimor LeDavid we're going to take as a title, and we're not going to get into that too much. We only have an hour. What does LeDavid mean? Why don't we, if I get a volunteer from the audience, as they say in magic shows. Shlomo?
Mizmor LeDavid. Who la Adonai b'nei Eli? Who la Adonai b'nei Eli?
All right, what does Havu mean?
You
got it. Okay, right, got it at the beginning. All right, so now you notice, right, one of the frustrating things about Tehillim is that the words are short, the words are simple, and sometimes they're even remarkably, they're easier than Havu, okay? But somehow we manage to, we're often dealing with prepositions here, right? With the Lamed, what does Lamed mean? So, yeah.
Ari,
yeah.
Is it adjusted from Yud Hey Vav?
Yes, very good. What does adjusted mean, Ari?
It's a command.
It's actually a command, not adjusted. Adjusted is let there be light, a third person. It's like in French, qu'il soit de lumière. It would be a third person. Let there be light. Okay. So that would be a third masculine singular. That would be adjusted. So here would be an imperative, right? Imperative is a second person. Okay. So havu Now, what does it mean? What does Yud Hei Bet mean, though?
Give.
Give, right? What's odd about this one, though? Okay. What's odd about the form Havu here? Okay, I'm going to push you here. What? Havu is...
Wouldn't you expect it to be Havu?
Right? How would you expect... What would it be? Okay, let's take an analogy, right? If you're saying that the root is Yud Hei Bet, right? Okay, yeah?
You would expect a top of the day.
Very good, right? You'd expect it to be something like this, like if it was Yud Shin Bet, what would be the plural imperative? Shivu lachem po in hachamor, okay? So by analogy, you would expect this. I can't do anything much with that, I'm just pointing that out. But basically all the classical parshanim and the modern parshanim as well argue that this is, you know, ascribe, right? Or give. Now, who are we talking to here? We need a masculine plural. Okay, so who are we talking to in this pasuk? Anybody?
B'nai
Elim. B'nai Elim, right? B'nai Elim, right? So if you were to translate this, okay, now what are we going to do with this B'nai Elim? Okay, all right. I'm not going to get thrown out here today, right? Go ahead. What are we going to do with this? Yeah.
What
does it literally mean? Okay, let's just...
Children of the mighty.
Well, okay, you're fudging. Right, okay. Right, okay.
Right. Everybody else is DNA.
Right, okay, well, what do we want it to be, okay? This is a safe space, no one's going to tell anybody what's going on in this room. What goes on in 314 versus days in 313. So, so what does it mean? What does B'nai Elim mean? What do I mean? What's an Eil?
Divine beings, members of the council.
Shalom lach, Verit Fisher. This is Verit Fisher, she was my third grade teacher.
Wow.
Ashrehem Yisrael Shigdol,
I have
limited... Thank you very much. Okay. Okay, I don't know. Where did you say you would meet you? Okay. Okay. Good to see you as always. Of course. Okay. All right. So, Greg Fisher was actually is a survivor, and she was she testified in the Congress for. That was the last time I saw her before a few years ago, was when I saw her on TV. She was testifying before Congress for reparations. At one point, she taught Jewish history to older students, and we were told, in elementary school, we were told, Mrs. Fisher is Jewish history. So, you know, I'm very fortunate, you know, she's quite lucky. Last time I saw her, she said, Nihaya ma'amin shehayalda hakana ba'auschwitz yula ninim. Okay, so if we need a testimony to Jewish survival, there's Mrs. Fisher. Okay, anyway. Back to this. So B'nai Elim, we said, was... Let's go back. What does Elim mean?
Gods.
Plural, right. Gods. Okay, good. Sons of God. Okay? And we're going to... the Tanakh does not shy away from that notion. If you have a whole Tanakh with you, I did not put this pasuk in front of you, but if you look in... and what are they... if you look... What the rest of the pasuk... Now, how does this pasuk work? Okay, what is the, let's read the next pasuk and let's explain the entire structure here of that those two pasukim. So, yeah, somebody want to read the next pasuk? And what are they told to give? Avu la'ashem b'nei elim, avu la'ashem kavod va'oz. What exactly that means, I'm not sure. But they're supposed to be giving him kavod va'oz, and I'll have a suggestion at the end as to what it's supposed to be doing. Okay? If you look at the next pasuk, what do we have? Havu Lashem Kivod Shimo, and then Yishtach Havu Lashem Behadrat Kodesh. The form, okay, somebody who took Intro to Bible with me, anybody remember what this form is? Or if you didn't take Intro to Bible with me? What is the literary form of this poem, of these two psukim? Sorry? Someone's mumbling it? Sorry? Okay, we call this staircase parallelism. Okay. It is quite common throughout ancient Near Eastern literature. And the way it works is you have A, okay? Then you have A prime, and then you have B, okay? In our case, and we call it staircase because it goes A, and then it, you know, it levels out, and then it advances that way. So we call it staircase parallelism. The drawing is not so important, just know that it's called that. What we have here, the way the staircase works is you have Havu La Hashem, you have the imperative, right? Havu, you have the object. You have Havu Lashem. Then you have the vocative, B'nai Elim, right? Vocative. What does a vocative mean? What's a vocative? You're speaking to somebody. Oh, whatever, right? That's a vocative, okay? So you have the imperative and the vocative. Havu Lashem, B'nai Elim. And then you have the imperative plus the object. Havu Lashem, Kavod Va'os. And here you have what Edward Greenstein calls another step in the parallelism, in the staircase, because the middle is expanded. The imperative plus the object again, same thing. And then finally you have an imperative, you get an imperative where the final segment is patterned on this segment here, on A prime, but has a completely different shape. Right? The same, those of you who know linguistics, the same deep structure. It's the same imperative plus something. Hishtachavu Lashem v'hadrat kodesh. Okay. So let me ask you this. What words are clear to you here? What makes sense? What do you understand? What is going on? Where are we? If you had to film this is a question I always like to ask. If you had to film this, where would you set it? Okay. Imagine yourself setting this as a film. Okay. Where are we?
Ugarit.
We're at Ugarit already? we haven't gotten there yet, but we're almost there. We'll get there before the end of today. But we're not at Ugarit yet, okay? If you had to film this, where would you put this? Where are we?
Standing at the sea.
Sorry?
Standing at the sea.
At the sea. Which sea?
Mediterranean.
You want to say Mediterranean. What? From this, what says the Mediterranean?
It's more influenced by what follows.
From the part that follows. Okay, so let's stay with this, though. Let's stick with this. Where are we? Yeah. You say so. The bid you want to suggest the bid is a locative bid. In other words, in Hadrat Kodesh, right? Okay, right. No, okay. Well, no. I mean, I'm just asking. That's
basically.
You argued Hadrat Kodesh. You want to say that we're in the Beit Hamikdash. Any other options? I'm not going to deny it. Yeah.
You can't be born Earth because the name Elilim.
Not Elilim. Elilim. Yeah.
Sons of gods, different gods.
Yeah, so are we on Earth?
We are somewhere looking at Earth from a far distance.
We're looking at Earth from a far distance. We're not on Earth. We're actually probably upstairs, right? We're in the Shamayim somewhere, right? If you look in, if you look at Iyov, I don't have it, I didn't put it down here, as I said. In Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk, the verse is Viron Yahat Kochvei Boker, when the stars of the morning stars sang together. It's Perek Lamed Zayin, Perek Lamed Chet, excuse me, Lamed Chet Zayin. Okay, so Yov Lamed Chet Zayin. Read Viron Yahat Kochvei Boker. God asks Yov, were you there when? That's the whole theme of Lamed Chet is. You know, where were you when I did whatever I did? So the first thing he asks him is when I created the world. Slightly different story of creation than what you would expect if you read Reshit Aleph, but the stars of heaven are singing together. The morning stars are singing together. Vayariu b'nei kol b'nei Elohim. Okay, so the b'nei Elohim, which I would argue is fairly close to b'nei Elim, are vayariu. What does lahariya mean?
Shout.
Right. They were singing. Right. So Ronan. Right, Rina and Truah sometimes appear in parallel. Right, Beron Yachad Kochvei Boker Vayariu Kol Bnei Elohim. At least for Eo, Bnei Elohim is being viewed as what? Who are the Bnei Elohim there?
Constellations.
Sorry, the constellations, something like that, the heavenly bodies. Right, and I've given you a bunch of references. We can look at the two that I've given you in Tehilim Kuf Mepchet. Generally, in Tehilim and throughout Tanakh, there is. Certainly at least room to say that there is a Mikdash Shel Mala, right? It becomes fully developed by Chazal, but certainly in the heavens they are singing to God. Hashamayim misaprim kevodelu maasei yadav magid harakia. Yom liyom yavia omer v'layla l'layla yechaveh da'at. The simple reading of that is that they proclaim, right? Ibn Ezra would, make you slightly more settled by that by saying, oh, well, you look at it, you realize that. But the Rambam, for example, has no problem saying that there's a music of the spheres, right? What you would least expect it from the Rambam, right? So the Rambam, who you know, does everything in his power to minimize anything that might make us uncomfortable, the Rambam certainly cites those kinds of psukim to show that the heavens proclaim. And so I've showed you a few cases. Tehillim Kuf Mem Chet is one that should be familiar from liturgy. Halu et Hashem min ha-shamayim halu ba-meromim. Halu kol malachav, halu kol tzva'av. Who are the tzva'av? Who is the tzva? Who is the army?
Stars.
Sorry? The stars, exactly. Min ha-shamayim nilchamu et sisra, ha-kochavim min esfilotam nilchamu. Right? The tzva ha-shamayim, right? The army of heaven, right? We have to... What's that now? Tivot Hashem, okay. That's actually Bnei Yisrael. That's called Tivot Hashem Me'aretz Mitzrayim. That's something else, right? Yeah, David Berger's my boss. I'm not going to go there. But Alu Kol Koch Ve'or. Okay, all of these heavenly bodies are commanded in Tehillim Kuf Mem Chet to praise God. What that means exactly, that's where I step away and I say, look, I don't quite know. But certainly from the theological point of view of Tehillim, the simplest reading of this all is that the heavens do praise, right? These heavenly bodies do sing praise to God. Chazal developed this, and this is not something that should be problematic to anybody. What's interesting is, again, they're called B'nai Elim, and are we to imagine that there are other deities that are being imagined? Sure, why not? Even Sefer Devarim that talks about centralization of the worship in Yerushalayim, etc., can imagine that Chalakotam, Chalak, the rest of the nations, you got the Kochavim and all of that, that was all for the other nations. So even Sefer Devarim can imagine that there are other deities, or other beings that are worthy of worship by other people, and here, presumably, it is Bnei Yisrael, and it is worthy of praising God. What Hadrat Kodesh means, I'm not sure. I could say Mikdash Shelmata. Any suggestions? There have been some suggestions as to with a vision, but as I say, right, this is deceptively simple, right? The bet could be the locative bet, as you suggested in Hadrat Kodesh. What are other options for bet though? Right, this is Tehillim. Tehillim is all about understanding prepositions. That's what you have to like. Yeah, what? Sorry?
Im.
What do you mean if im?
Using.
By means of, right? Don't you, im would not, you actually wouldn't say im for, you're speaking English now, right? With, right? I write with a pen, right? The bet of means, right? By means of Hadrat Kodesh, praise God, or, bow to God with Hadrat Kodesh, okay? So that's another option with Hadrat Kodesh. Okay, so we start off upstairs. I think I convinced you of that. I think so. You also have in Yishayahu Perek Vav. I quoted it for you. Yishayahu Vav is the famous Trisa Hagion, which is Kadosh Kadosh. That's simply just saying holy, 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 three times holy. And where is that taking place? Right, Shulav Mileim et Ha'echal. And the question is, this is a joke that one professor was not quite ready for teaching in Israel. When he sees this, okay, right? So this is the question. With Perek Vav, right? Is he standing in Beit HaMikdash, or is he seeing something that's going on upstairs? You've got Srafim there. So I would imagine that we're in Mikdash Shelmala in Perek Vav, and that we have a direct quote of what they actually say. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvot, Lo Chol Ha'aretz Kivodo. Okay. Then we move into, as Rina said, we move into the second unit. Okay. And if the second unit is characterized by Kol Hashem, it's very noisy now. Right. Suddenly we get the sound plays in. Right. Not quite clear what's happening in the first two psukim, with whether we would play music or not, right? But you'd start with upstairs, and then now Kol Hashem. Now where are we now? Okay, let's start reading, and we'll go from there. Okay. Ari,
you
want to read?
Either one.
Kol Hashem.
Kol Adonai Alamayim, Elokavod Yirim Adonai Alamayim Rabbi.
Okay. So, what does that mean? Presence.
The voice of God is upon the water.
Uh-huh.
The God of glory causes to shout.
Right, he thundered probably. Right. Okay. Yeah.
God upon many waters, God.
Okay. Right. Interesting. That third part there is where are we now? Somebody had said the ocean, right? Right. So now we're at the ocean. Okay. I'm going to ask you which ocean in a minute, but keep that in mind. What is going on here now? What kind of what sound effect are they?
I guess you said thunder and lightning.
Well, I haven't seen lightning yet.
Thunder, the waves crashing.
You have waves? Let's just. I think all I've got so far is thunder. Maybe there are waves. You might say al hamayim. Okay. Let's keep reading. Okay, Ari, keep reading.
Kol adonai b'koach, kol adonai b'hadar.
Okay.
The voice of God is with strength.
Yeah.
The voice of God is with glory.
Right. And here's a good example of, we can translate every single word, right? But what does it mean? Right? This is one of these great examples of things like this. Like, I really don't know what it actually means. What's another option for kol, by the way, here? Kol Hashem b'kol, possibly the voice of God, that's one option. You could take it as kol Hashem is like a snichut, right? What's the other option? Yeah.
You could say it's kol, like listen.
What's your proof for that? You know the famous pasuk, okay? Reishit Dalid, right? No. Kol, dvei achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama, right? Okay, the problem that Rashi addresses and everybody addresses, the problem is, kol dmei achicha tzoakim elai min ha'adama. What is the grammatical issue here?
Kol is singular.
Kol is singular, dmei is plural, and then you've got the verb tzoakim. Right? This is the grammatical issue that all the so Chazal say damo v'dam zariyotav and so on and so forth. Probably the simplest solution is to say kol, right? As the JPS would render it, hark. The sound, hark. Your brother's blood, plural, is crying out to me. Right? So kol is an exclamation, hark. So it's possible, although I'm not sure that I would like it here. Because I think this is a noisy section, and I like Kol Hashem. Yes.
Could be Ruach Hashem, maybe like Ruach Elohim.
What's the advantage of that? I mean,
waves.
God has a voice, no? Kol Ha'am Ro'im Et HaKolot Ve'et HaLapidim. I mean, you know, God has all of that stuff. Like if you want it disturbing, right, this is clearly, you know, it'll get more disturbing before it ends, but. One option here is kol Hashem b'koach is possibly kol, right? Hashem b'koach, right? God is appearing with strength, something like that. And again, the bet. It's all about these prepositions, and I don't know what to do with them. I can translate every word. I can, you know, make it vague, but I can't get behind it. The way I translated it is possibly. I took it as a bet of means, right? By means of God appears or something like this with the sound of God how do I translate? The voice of the Lord is powerful, the voice of the Lord is glorious, right? That's how I translate. Yes?
Is it possible? I mean, I know that like stream of consciousness type poetry didn't start until much, much later.
Okay,
but like you have Joyce and Whitman do it a lot.
Okay.
Does this have to be anywhere, or can this just be, you know? Look, there may be some that do have a very strict and rigorous structure, but is it wrong to say that all of them have that? Can it just be kind of a helter skelter?
Well, let's
outpouring to God.
Let's finish it and then decide. Okay, let's. Okay. I think that we're delaying ourselves at a point that I think we're a little too too premature. I do think actually that we do have a single scene here. At least in this unit, I do think we do have a single scene, and we can film this, we can manage this. Okay, Ari, keep going. You're doing fine, so just keep doing it. Okay, go ahead.
Kol Adonai Shaver Azim, my Shaver Adonai Darzeh Alavanon.
Okay.
The voice of God breaks cedars.
Yeah, okay.
God broke the cedars of Lebanon.
Right, okay, so you have the Shavar Vay Shaver, that's that Huan and Ugarit. In Ugarit, they do this all the time, right? They use the Avar and the Atid forms in parallel. Even though you have shivar, you'd expect a shivar, but you have a what we would call an avar and an atid functioning together. Now where are we? Okay, now we really can talk about we're in some place, right? Where are we? Anybody? Where are we? Where are we now? What? Lebanon, right? Clearly, right? Isaiah Levanon, right? We're Cedars of Lebanon. You can go to Princeton University and see a Cedar of Lebanon. It was a gift from the government of Lebanon to Princeton University. What? There are very few Cedars of Lebanon left in Lebanon today. They are protected, apparently by armed guards, so I wouldn't know firsthand. right. Okay. So he's breaking the Cedars of Lebanon. Okay? So we're now somewhere there. Okay? Next. Go ahead.
V'yarkidim kama egel, v'banum v'sion kama ben reimim. He rode them like a calf.
He did what?
He rode them.
What do you word, spell it in English?
Or sorry, he danced.
What's the binyana v'yarkidim, please? He field, right? So he caused them to dance, right? He made them dance, right? V'yarkidim kama egel, like a calf, right? Right?
Okay.
Lebanon
and Sirion. Lebanon and Sirion, like the sons of rams.
A wild bull. Okay, Re'em is not a ram. Re'em is a wild bull. Akkadian Rimu, it's almost a quasi-mythical beast. That's Kasher Re'em, again in Eov, the Re'em figures there also. So he makes them dance like Ben Re'emi. Okay? Another option here is just make you aware. You know, I would be remiss to. This is the famous example of what we call the enclitic mem. Okay, enclitic mem. The way we're understanding the pasuk right now, and which is which is the way the Balei Masora understand it. Are you there or not? Yes. Kemo Egel. Lebanon, v'Sirion, kemo ven re'emim. Okay. So, what does the mem refer to here, according to the Balei Masora? It's what is it? How's it functioning? It's otam, right? It's a kinui for. It's a, either who are we talking about? What?
The cedars.
Okay, possibly the cedars, and you got a bunch of options, right? You can go backwards and say it's the cedars. Okay, so he's broken them and he makes them dance. You take them back a pasuk, right? Yarkidim. Okay, like Shomer Arazim and Arzei HaLevanon. That's the Yarkidim. Okay, other options for this?
Bnei
Elim, I don't think. Levanon v'Siryon, I imagine. Right, so we can either go this way or we can go backwards to Arazim. Modern linguistic study of Hebrew in light of some other Semitic languages has discovered that there may have been in Hebrew a what we call an enclitic mem, a mem that was tacked on the end without the meaning of otam, right? So for and so that we would read it as, instead of Vayarkidem kmo egel Lebanon v'Sirion kmo ben re'emim as the Balei Masora do, we would read Vayarkidem kmo egel Lebanon v'Sirion kmo ben re'emim, right? So it would be Vayarkid ma or something like that, or Vayarkid mi or something like this. This mem does not function as a third masculine plural suffix. Okay, possibly. It's the problem is that they're always understood this way, and it always works anyway. Yes, then. By Arkidem kimo egel Levanon. No. He makes Levanon dance like an egel.
It's not egel Levanon.
No. By Arkidem kimo egel. By Arkid. This mountain is not here. By Arkid kimo egel Levanon. Here Arkid Levanon kimo egel, like Lebanon, right? Like an egel, he made Lebanon dance, and he made Sirion, which is the anti-Lebanon, which is to the east. And I believe this is the east of it. Okay, we're gonna get to the geography in a second. Yeah.
Is it possible that egel is plural, like in English? There's some like fish is plural, because the egel is how we say ele Elohecha, so it's plural.
That's Elohim, not egel. Right. In other words, that's a function of Elohim that it is to be plural all the time. Right.
But it said about the ego.
Sure. Yeah, but I don't think that works that way here. Okay. They have the word agali all over.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's two ways.
No. I think if you want to read the Pesukim, you understand it as Levanon v'Siryon is just the akide. Okay. So he makes the mess. So now what's going on here? What kind of a scene is this? what is happening outside? We're on the ocean, right? What noise do we have? We have thunder. We definitely have thunder, right? We've got splitting cedars of Lebanon. Trees are breaking down. Okay, the Lebanon is dancing. Okay, and then you have in Pasuk Zayin. What do we have there, Ari?
Call the Nechotzei
Lavan. Okay.
The voice of God cuts. Cuts flames of fire.
Good, right. Chotzei, he hews, technically, right? The lachtzov is what you do from a rock. When you take a rock and you want to get some rock out of it, you chotzei. Okay, so it's a little bit of a strange image, but I think it's, you know, it can hold its own. Okay, so what are we seeing here? What's that? Lightning, I think, right? You've got fire, right? You've got thunder, ram. You have lightning, right? Lahavot esh. Okay, Ari?
Kol Adonai Yechil Mibar, Yechil Adonai Mibar Kadesh.
Okay.
I don't know how to translate Yechil.
Okay, what is it, Yechil?
It's Ched Vav Lamed.
Ched Vav Lamed, good. What does it mean?
Like mundane.
What?
I would say mundane, but I
don't know. No, not Kol, not here. No, no, no. What? What?
Well, same Shorish as doing something, functioning.
No, not here.
We'll dance.
Sorry? Probably to make dance again, right? Or to either to make dance or to make writhe, right? Feel kayole da. Okay? He makes either writhe or he makes them dance, right? Lahul. Right? Like they said, Anashim Achareha, Betubim, Movim Cholot, presumably Mechol, Chol might mean dance. Either to dance or to cause to writhe, right? To convulse. Okay? And now where are we? Okay? Mibar Kadesh. Okay, where is Mibar Kadesh? Okay, we've been up in the Lebanon until now, and I'm just going to show you. In a minute it'll go on. I hope it's been a little finicky today, but we're used to thinking of Kadesh as Kadesh Barnea, which is where was Kadesh Barnea? You know, sort of big broad general strokes.
Westward, south, south of Israel.
Sorry?
South,
southwest. Very good.
Where are the border?
Are we on?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
No, this is not good.
There's a screen.
Oh, that screen? That's not good. Really helpful. But let's see if we can.
It's getting there.
Is it like warming up a little
bit? Yeah,
it's getting. Okay. So. All right, there you go. It's not such a great view of it.
Somebody would just shut the windows here.
Okay. So we're using the of Kadesh Barnea, which is you can see here. Here's Yam Hamela. Here is Kadesh Barnea, right here. Okay, and here is the Mediterranean. There is, however, another Kadesh, right? This, which is the Kadesh on the Orontes River, which is much closer to the Lebanon, which is right here. Okay, and so we think that it's not my own chidush. This is an old view of this. That this entire mizmor is taking place somewhere up here in the north. Okay, and here is Kadesh.
That qualifies as Midbar.
What? Yeah, they speak of it as the wilderness. Other sources speak of it as the wilderness of Kadesh. Yes, for sure. And if we had to trace the let's just finish it up here. Ari, just finish up the last bit there.
Okay. The voice of God dances with
causes to dance, right? Causes or cause them to rise.
I thought the polal substitutes for the pia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not causative.
It's a causative. It's a causative pia.
Yeah,
can be a causative. Yeah, sure.
It causes rams.
Yeah. Well, ayalot is female. Female hinds or female deers, right? Ayalot. Female ayalot causes them to calve, okay? To give birth. When Professor Tige taught us this mizmor, he noted that apparently it was observed that when the Americans bombed, I believe it was Nagasaki, there were the noise was so loud that horses gave birth or something like this. Apparently, like, this is known to happen. In other words, loud noises cause animals to give birth. I don't remember all the details, and I wouldn't, you know, take this one to the bank. But definitely, apparently, this is something that could possibly happen. Okay, convulses hinds, if you will. Yecholel ayalot. Okay, what else does he do?
Ve'chasov yarot. And he shovels fart.
What is the chasov? Chasaf Hashem? What does chasaf mean? Lachsof? Machsof halavan? Lachsof is to strip, right? To strip bare, right? So the forest is being laid bare. And again, I think we're up north here. If we had to draw the progress of this mizmor, you know, chart the progress of this mizmor, I think we're going, we're coming in off the water, right? We've got a storm that comes in off the Mediterranean, right? Ahamayim. And then it goes to the Lebanon and the Syrian, and then it makes its way down here to Mibar Kadesh. Okay? So you've got, I think, we have the progress of a storm here. And how is the Mishorer, right, envisioning this? What does the Mishorer see in this Mizmor? Right? Sorry?
It's God's strength.
Right, it's a manifestation of God, right? In the storm, right, he sees God making noise. And it has been suggested that this is sort of the famous example. If you look at your at the last page, that there are numerous parallels between the language that is used about God here and the language that we know to have been used about Baal, the one who Ugarit. God Ugarit. This is a statue of Baal. Baal is a storm god. Over here would probably have been his lightning, his spear, which is the lightning. Okay, and he would have been possibly riding a bull of some kind. If you look at the text, right, that I've given you here in translation, this is Baal's ascent to the throne. The epic of Baal, to a large degree, is about Baal becoming the king of the gods. That's sort of in a nutshell what's going on in the Baal epic. So Baal opens a break in the clouds. Baal gives vent to his holy voice. Baal recites the issue of his lips. Right, he speaks. His holy voice, the earth shakes. Okay, the parallels are quite interesting here. Baal, in general, is known to be it makes a lot of noise. He's the thunder god. Right, he makes thunder. The high places of the earth shake. The enemies of Baal take to the woods. The haters of Hadad, that's another name for Baal, to the mountainside. And mightiest Baal speaks. O enemies of Hadad, why do you quake? Why quake, O weapon wielders of the warrior? Baal eyes the east. His hand indeed shakes, probably, right? Shakes. With his cedar in his right hand. So Baal is enthroned in his house. Will either a king of or a commoner establish a land of dominion? Okay, this is Baal's ascent to the throne in the Baal epic. It's quite similar to what happens when here. And we'll talk about the final similarity in a minute. The end of Pasuk Tet, where are we now, right? Okay, we suddenly, right, we've got this very noisy, somebody said chaotic, right? Chaotic because the storm is chaotic, not chaotic because of the stream of consciousness necessarily, I think. I don't think it's, you know, I think it's quite organized, actually. I think he's got... What? No, I'm not, you know, I'll entertain, I'm willing to be convinced otherwise, I'm just making my case here. Yeah. What happens at the end of Pasuk Tet, though? Where are we now? Sorry? Hey, hello. Okay, right? And now, modern critic, this is modern, 19th century critic, so semi-modern, points out that it is as though you've been ripped from this storm scene, right? And suddenly you're back in the Heichal Shalma, you're some kind of a Heichal, and whereas before it was all noise, now you've suddenly got this beautiful organized Heichalo Kulo Omer Kavod. You've got a quote of what everybody is saying, right? Kulo Omer Kavod. Everybody says Kavod. I would imagine this is very similar to what is said Kadosh, 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 right? This Mizmor imagines a very similar point. And if we have to read the Mizmor as one, as we're beginning to read it now, so what is Havu Lashem B'nei Elim, Havu Lashem Kavod Va'oz? Right? What is that imperative supposed to be doing there? Right? You're supposed to say kavod, right? At the beginning, he's telling them to say what's going on in Pesuk Tet. Does everyone follow what I'm saying here? Right? Vechalo kulo omer kavod. The fulfillment of the command is delayed somewhat, but you finally get it at the end here. Right? At the end of Pasuk Tet, you get Vechalo kulo omer kavod. Okay. Let's finish up the Mizmor now. All right, go ahead.
Okay. God sits upon the Mabul, or God provides the Mabul.
Okay, what would you like to see if you wanted to translate that way?
I'd say Al, but Al can Al and Lit can be interchangeable.
Okay.
Al Kaf Paro.
Okay, right. Al Kaf Paro, but here you've got Lamed.
I'm saying.
So Lamed and Al. Okay, yeah, maybe. You'll admit it's a little strict. Right. One option, that's out there, that's very famous, is that the Akkadian word for before the flood is lam abubi. Okay, before the flood, lam abubi. Okay, so it has been suggested that that's what's going on here too. God sat enthroned before the flood, right, all the way back, in hoary antiquity, right? God sat enthroned.
It makes sense.
What?
It makes sense because of the second.
The only problem with it is that we never see Lam functioning in this way anywhere in biblical Hebrew. So, you've got this oddball Akkadianism in the middle of everything. But, hey. I'm not thrilled with it, but it's at least, it gets me somewhere. But as I said, prepositions is what's all about here, right? You have to figure out this Lam. Yes, David.
Can you say Hashem Lamabu Yashov, meaning he will return to the flood? And you could use it again as a
Yashov. You could. You'd want to be Yashov, and you'd want to come. You'd want to be pointed to a segol there. Not a segol. A cholam. Thank you. A cholam. I'm not sure what you would get out of that. God will return to it. Then you'd want v'yashav. Yeah.
It could be Yashov, like he goes back. Like Yashov, like retro. He
returns.
No. Or that he goes back to that.
But that, so you want it from Shuv, what you're saying.
Yeah.
Okay, then what would you expect it to be? Either Yashov, or Yashuv, something like that. But here you've got Yashav, I think it's to sit, right? God sat enthroned at the time of the flood, something like that, and God sat enthroned forever. And here we get that final parallel with the Ugaritic material, right? You've got that big noise, right, of Baal making a lot of noise, and then he becomes enthroned, right? And Melech Le'olam, who will establish dominion, right? Who can establish dominion? And then Hashem owes la'amo yitein, Hashem yivarech et amo ba'shalom. Right? God will give strength to his nation. God will bless his nation with peace. And note that you've got owes at the beginning and owes at the end. Right? And it's at the end that you suddenly move from mikdash shalmana, you get down to amo, you get down to Yisrael. And the question that I want to leave you with, or I want to explore for the last few minutes before I take questions, is imagine yourself as an ancient Israelite, as David HaMelech, right? What is the function of this? Yeah?
I think it's like a Musar Shmuz, meaning like the first two psukim are sort of like, introductory, this is sort of the, this is sort of the derif of how we're supposed to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then the last two psukim sort of...
But who are we talking to in the first part?
I think we're just talking to people that are nervous about the Baal.
Okay, right. So there is definitely an awareness of Baal, and almost as though, right, what we call, a polemical reading of this, right, would be to say, right, it's not Baal who's in charge here, right? Rather, Hashem l'mabul yashav, v'yeshem Hashem melech le'olam, kol Hashem al hamayim, right?
Maybe it could have been meant for, people that were potentially swinging towards the Baal.
Right, who were living probably in that northern region in the, far away from Yerushalayim, where, somewhere up here, right? They're living in Phoenicia or, under a Phoenician influence, somewhere like that. And, the only question is that, how convincing would this be, right? If there really is a Ugaritic original or some kind of Phoenician original here, presumably they're aware of the Phoenician original, and it's not terribly creative, but okay. Yeah, so.
Is Baal ascended to the throne before or after the flood?
After the flood.
So then that's like, meaning if you want to read this as a book,
right, it's true, right. God was even before the flood.
Right, so
true.
First of all.
Definitely so. But let's imagine that. So David, you're right, there is a certain polemic here. But now, how would this have functioned? When would this have been recited? Yeah.
No, pardon my ignorance, but how often do we have in Tehillim polemical works?
Right, so of all the books, Tehillim is the most. Ki hinei oivecha Hashem, ki hinei oivecha Yovedu is actually probably a direct quotation from Ugaritic. It's the only case that we have of an actual Ugaritic, probably a quote directly, is where it's said about Baal in one case and about Hashem in another. Not here, in Mizmor Tzadi Bet. But of all the books, Tehillim is probably the most in dialogue like that. Okay, so what about the end? What does the ending say about when it might have been used? What is the hope of the end of the Mizmor here? Yeah?
It sounds like a war. Oz Lavo Yitei.
Very good, very good. Right, we're about to set out for war.
Okay.
What? And you're praying for peace, right? And in fact, if you look at some of the material that I brought you here, you have, first of all, I gave you a bunch of examples of God making noises and God's anger, right, and causing the sea to dry up, etc. The last example that I gave you on the last page, and I don't know why they did this way, but you have Tehillim Yudchet, which is a mizmor that's an individual mizmor, so it has its parallel in Shmuel Bet Kaf Bet. It's pretty much the same mizmor. Where you have Batali Ekra Hashem Ve'Elokaya Shaveya Yishmame Hechalo Koli, right? He hears my voice in his Hechal. V'Shavati Lefanav Tavo Be'Oznav. Vatir Ash Ha'aretz. The land trembles and quakes. U'Mosdei Harim Yirgazu Vayitgashu Ki Charalo. Right? God got angry and so they quake. The earth quakes. Ala Ashan Ve'Apo Ve'Eshli Piv Tokeu. Gechalim Ba'arum Imenu. Sounds vaguely similar. Right, certainly the same kind of imagery of God getting angry, and then Vayet Shamayim Vayirad, right? What does he do? What's the image here? Vayet. He bends the heaven. Okay, he bends Shamayim and he comes down. Right. Va'arafel tachat raglav, the cloud beneath his feet. Vayirkav al kiruv vayaof vayede al kanfei ruach. He flies on wings of wind. Yashet choshech sitos yotav sukato cheshchat mayim avei shechakim. It's very dark around. There's clouds. Then vayareim b'shamayim Hashem v'elyon yiten kolo barad v'gachal eish. Vayishlach chitzav v'yifitzeim uvrakim v'yihumeim. Okay. Yishlach, at the end he says, v'yishlach mimarom yichacheni yamsheni mimayim rabim yatzileni me'oyevi az. Okay, he saves me. So what we would say, the theophany, right? The revelation, what they call in Hebrew, hitgalut, here. Right, the God's manifestation in the storm is here in Tehillim Yudchet, I think provides us a useful parallel to Tehillim Kaftet, that the theophany is being portrayed as part of the prayer on the eve of war. Right, he's hoping for this salvation, Hashem Oz Lamo Yitein, and so we invoke. Right, the speakers invoke the heavenly prayer, and then. You have a certain reciprocity, right? Havul Hashem Kavod Ma'oz upstairs, and then Hashem Oz Lamo Yitain downstairs, right? God will give will give Bnei Yisrael Oz as well. Okay, so I'm supposed to stop and take questions now. Yes.
According to this shot, did David HaMelech write this
This gets into the question of what the Lamed in Ledavin means. According to even rabbinic sources, there is room to say that David did not write everything. The Lamed could be about, could be by, and there are sources that suggest that Ezra wrote some of them. Certainly, Mizmorim like Tehillim Kuf Lamed Zayin, Al Na'arot Bavel, right, doesn't fit Davidic context. Now, I don't necessarily deny that this is one of the older ones. Certainly, it still knows Canaanite culture in a way that others don't. And so, if there's a candidate for one by David, it certainly this is a good candidate for one by David. But I don't take it as a theological principle that David wrote them.
No. I was wondering historically. It's hard.
We tend not to take them with that kind of historicity anymore. Yeah.
Just going back to Hashem Mabul Yashav.
Yeah.
I think that Mabul is the the flood that's caused by all of this hurricane-like force storm here necessarily. It seems like all of what's going on, there's a storm, and the flood might not be the flood with a capital T and F, the flood because of all this activity.
Right. I think that Mabul, though, if you looked around, you probably would find that it's only used for that, for the deluge.
Okay, so is there a different word that's used for just,
I don't remember. But, okay, yeah. Your question?
Just an interesting comparative
list, yes.
I guess, to the Bible sect, that as the god of the storm, he seems to reign over this water, and where people hide from him are in the woods, or...
What was that again? Sorry. Baal is reigning over the water, yeah.
He is the god of the storm, you said?
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Right, so power over water,
yeah.
Water, I would assume, and like people are hiding from him in the woods, and just within this context,
yeah.
You have not only god of the water, which we start from, but then it goes to the desert, and then not only that, but also God as the master of deforestation, I would say. It's just
mm-hmm.
kind of making a mockery of...
Sure, right. And something along the lines of Melachim Aleph Yutchet Yutet, where Elohei Harim, Nova, he's in the mountains. No, he's in the ground. Go call out. So he's all encompassing, exactly. But even Baal is like that too, right? They take to the mountainsides, but they can't really run away from him, right? I think. I mean, I'm not sure, right? They run away. I think the implication is that even Baal gets, he catches them there too, maybe. But certainly, right, you're certainly right, that would be a direction to explore, is this being polemical in the sense of God rules everything as well? Yeah, okay, yeah, question.
to possibly solve the locational problem with the end of Tet,
Behechalo,
that still be, preserved from the Baal tradition, and that Heichalo, I think, was in the architect's home in that area.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, his mount, right, God, right, every god has his temple. Heichal is actually a Sumerian loan word into Hebrew. It's the original word is A-Gal, actually A number two, which is Akkadian Heichalu, which means palace. And this means big house. Right, Gal is big, E is house, right? So big house. So Heichalo is his big house, his temple. Now, whether it's Mikdash Shel Mala or Mikdash Shel Mata, I think there's a certain ambiguity here at this point. Yeah.
Sure, but it could originally have been still an allusion to Baal at that point, and then the location fits in.
You mean he's in Yarkate Tzafon, you're saying? Possibly, yeah. He's in Mount Tzafon, right? But Baal lives on Mount Tzafon, which is up there also in the north. Yes.
Two questions.
Sure.
One is that just in light of the last pasuk, it almost not necessarily a storm, but maybe an invasion.
Where are you?
No, in light of the last pasuk, Hashem was loving Hashem.
Yeah, you mean there has been an invasion? You're saying
that maybe he's afraid of it. Maybe he's afraid.
So
you know, it's like the classic story. Like you're never going to guess what happened to me today.
Except for the storm in imagery, right? You've got all this very clearly storm.
Or you have this destructive force coming through.
So Radak, I would refer you to Radak here. Right? Use the a good edition of Radak, which would have, because he quotes three different lines of interpretation here. One of which is that these are enemies, that all of this is referring to enemies. I think that's his own interpretation. Chazal, I think, view it as Matan Torah. They actually take it as Kadesh Kadesh Barnea. And this entire theophany is all about Matan Torah. So if you're interested in that question, I would recommend that you go to the Mikro Kedot HaKeter, which has republished the Radak in its full version. There you can find the different possibilities. He quotes Chazal, he quotes Ibn Ezra, and then he gives his own interpretation there. And one of them is, I think it's his own, that he likes to say this is the enemies.
And I think they're a hug up, then you answered my second question, which is why we say this Shabbos morning.
We don't say this Shabbos morning. Oh, well, we give back, we put back the Sefer Torah.
Yeah.
So that is clearly, right, that is clearly in line with the reading of Chazal, that this is Matan Torah.
Right.
Yeah, and the this is in general, there's a confusion between the Torah and God himself in the synagogue. Right, not a confusion, but a conflation of the two. Certainly language, when you say, Kuma Hashem v'yafutzu oivecha, and you bring out the open the aron, right? right? You're talking about God, and suddenly you open the Aron HaKodesh, and there's a generally, it would be worthwhile looking at I won't say confusion, the conflation of God with the Sefer Torah.
Well, that's because of being so Aron.
Of course, right, but at one point the Aron used to actually move. Today it doesn't do that anymore, right?
Some shows it rotates.
Sure. Right. But originally, right, in Masechet Ta'anit, right, Motzin Sefer, Motzin Aron L'Rechavah Shel Ir, right, that you would bring the Aron out, so the Nesoah Ha'aron would actually move, probably.
What's the connection to Kabbalat Shabbat?
So that's a question that I don't really know. I think it has to do with the number of the times the word Kol appears here. The Kol Hashem, or the names of neither the name of God, or the Kol, because all of Kabbalat Shabbat is all involves Kabbalah. In other words, with the capital Q, right? The people from Tzfat and so on and so forth, and they were not so interested in meaning was secondary to form or to work. So I don't know all the details about that. It would be an interesting question to ask why you do this. Okay, yes.
Where does the idea of comparing this to the Baal come from?
So where does it come from? It's originally H.L. Ginsberg. Who did this? No. Who made the comparison in an article in 1934? Once Ugaritic was discovered, it became apparent that that was the case. Largely, it's because this is something along the lines of Dibratarak Hilshon B'nei Adam, and here's our chance to understand what Hilshon B'nei Adam is. If you have to ask me, where it comes from. That's where it comes from. Okay, so I'll take questions after that, but it's 5:30, so I can't.